in the 15s and the 20s of the country, they were primarily Irish gangs. The mafia was not called the mafia
right.
at that time. That was down in Little Italy and in below 14th Street. They were called the Black Hands. They called themselves at that time.
Black Hands.
Black Hands.
The Italian gang.
Yeah, they were not called the mafia. I guess I don't think they organized as the mafia until I guess it was in the 30s or something. But I'm no expert.
mm-hmm.
Other than when I was a kid, that's what they called them.
Did you hear stories when you were a kid about the old Gas House Gang or about any sort of criminal activity in the Gas House Gang from your parents or your grandparents?
Well, my grandparents, they all died before I was born.
Right.
You got to remember, my Sweeney grandfather came over, and he came here around 1850, 51.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, New York above 14th Street didn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother's mother and father, my mother's mother died when she was 6 months old. That was in 1894.
Mm-hmm.
And her father died when she was 7 years old, 1901. So
right.
I didn't have any touch with them at all. My mother was raised by her aunt and from the 6 month time. And they always lived in the guest house. Because as a matter of fact, they lived on First Avenue between 14th and 15th
mm-hmm.
Street. And that's where I was born, and my brother Jimmy was born. He's older than me. He was born. And then I guess in 1920 or 21, they had moved over to on First Avenue between 15th and 16th Street. And then I had two more brothers. They were born there.
Mm-hmm.
One in 1921, who died as an infant, and then one in 1922, who's still alive and lives in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
So the four of us were born in that one block area.
When were you born, sir?
1919.
Uh-huh.
And now you got to understand, the guest house district wasn't from 14th to 23rd where...
That's what you said in your letter, that it went farther north and farther west.
It went, the guest house district primarily, it went, 14, but people who lived in 12th Street considered themselves part of the guest house
mm-hmm.
district. And the guest house district went up to, I guess it would be considered maybe 28th Street.
Mm-hmm.
It was not, did not end at First Avenue, as a matter of fact, it ended primarily at 2nd, but it reached over into 3rd Avenue.
Hmm.
In those days, when I was a kid, Tammany Hall was on 14th Street. We lived on, where I was born, we lived on 1st Avenue between
14th and
15th Street.
That should be on here, right? Here's 1st, and here's 14th, and here's 15th. So were you on the east side?
I was born here.
Well, there's 246, 250, 242, 240.
No, 240.
246?
246.
That's your lot right there in the middle of the block.
Downstairs was the Lone Star Saloon.
Mm-hmm.
It was owned by a fellow named Bill Warren. He owned it for years. It was a hangout for a lot of politicians from
mm-hmm.
Tammany and whatnot. And my brother and I were born on the top floor
mm-hmm.
in that particular house. That Race Chapel was there at 14th Street, which is now the Immaculate. That was a brewery.
Wait, on the side of Grace Chapel?
Yeah, it was
uh-huh.
a brewery. My grandfather.
That would have been right here on the north side of 14th. I mean,
that would be on the not on the north side. It's on the south mm-hmm. side of 14th.
Oh,
I see. You don't have it.
Uh-huh.
It's right across the street.
Mm-hmm.
From there. You don't have it. Yeah, my maternal grandfather and his brother, uncle, they worked in the brewery.
What did they do?
Made beer and probably drank.
how many breweries were in there? Were there a lot of breweries in there? Was there more than one?
That's before my time.
Yeah, right.
I don't remember. So,
I just thought you might have heard
breweries.
Stories or something.
Oh, yeah. Well, up on First Avenue around 27, 28, it was the Fidelio Brewery. You don't go up that far.
No, I only go up to, 24th, 25th, 26th Street.
So this was at 27th and 1st?
Around 27th Street and 1st Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
It was on the west side
Did
of
Did you say Fidelio?
Fidelio, F-I-D-E-L-I-O.
Did you ever see the clock in the ear end? Says Fidelio Beer.
Fidelio Beer, that's where it was made. It was on First Avenue around 27 to 28.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember exactly when. There are probably other breweries that I don't really remember.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't pay that much attention to 60.
Yeah, because you were a kid.
But as I say, that was a brewery there. And some people think that there was a stable where the Grace Chapel is instead of a brewery. But what it was a stable, because when my grandfather and my granduncle worked there, the beer wagons were drawn by horses.
Mm-hmm.
And the stable probably had something to do with where they manned the horse. In later years, a man who boys went to school with, was a great friend of mine, Mr. Bernard Clark, he had a blacksmith shop in there, and he had stalls for about five or six horses. So that leads me to believe that what he took over there had been part of the brewery where they had the horses. And he was a great horseshoer in his day. He used to do a lot of horseshoeing.
Clark.
Clark, C-L-A-R-K-E, Bernard Clark.
Did you ever take that Greenpoint Ferry?
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm. Well, the last funeral I remember in New York that I remember with horses was my grandmother's funeral. That was in January of 1926. And they used to go around the block about twice in those days with the cortege. And then in that particular case, we went up to 23rd Street and took the ferry over to from there. But
with the casket? I mean, so she was buried in casket?
Yeah, with the whole the whole cortege went on the ferry. It was the casket and the flower wagon, and I don't know how. And they were all horse-drawn. They were horse-drawn things. And then for several, for years after that, my other grand aunt, she used to want to go to Calvary, and she'd ask me if I'd come with her. I was a kid, so I'd go with her. But we'd go up to 23rd, so we took the ferry. The ferry must have ran until the late, very late 20s, or even, not even ran into the early 30s. Mm-hmm. There was also another ferry that went to Greenpoint. It was at 8th Street. You don't have it on
No.
8th Street, and a street that doesn't exist anymore. It was Dry Dock.
Mm-hmm.
Dry Dock ran from 14th Street downtown. I don't know if you heard of that.
No.
We've
got Marginal Street on here before there was an FDR Drive.
Well, that's you talked about the farms. You're talking about the farms. The farms were down in this. Just because this was a great, at that time, a truck route. That was really, Marginal Street was really Avenue C.
What have we got? We've got, this is A here. A went up to 24th.
A ended up there. Yeah.
And this is Avenue B. And we've got B going up to...
Well, it ended at Marginal Street. Or is it
what cross street? 21st, really.
21st, yeah. So all that area from there down to 18th Street was known as...
Into the Willard Parker Hospital.
Into the Willard Parker Hospital.
Because I did hear someone, and I did find on a map the Willard Parker Hospital.
Oh, yeah, no, it's still. I think the building is still
there. What kind of patients were treated there?
That was the...
Was that a women's hospital?
No. That was a hospital for communicable diseases.
So like tuberculosis?
No, it was diphtheria, chickenpox, you name it. It was all. I spent a month in there.
Is that right?
Yeah, well, around 1922, the late part, it was a big diphtheria
epidemic. Yeah.
And I caught it, and I had to go to the Willow Park. That's where you went with it. Anything with a communicable disease, scarlet fever, that's a big hospital. I think the building is still up. Not used, but it's still there. I don't think they ever torn it.
I once also read about, was there like a men's hostel on the river somewhere, like a men's shelter?
There wasn't
was
a men's
on the
shelter,
recreation pier, not on a recreation pier, but on a pier or something that was put up?
I think what you're talking about is during the Depression, in the early days of the Depression, there was like a tent city down there, or they had shacks and whatnot. I was only a kid, but I wasn't allowed to go down there, but they had that. And that was down around 14th Street and Avenue, somewhere, or maybe...
This is PS 104 on 16th Street here.
Yeah, that was referred to. Now, you want to know this for history. That was not known by any number. That was known as the soup school.
Why was it called the soup school?
Because if you went to school there, you got a bowl of soup and a piece of bread. What's that? Everybody in the neighborhood, if you say PS 104, they wouldn't know what you're talking about. You tell them soup school. Oh, yeah, I know where soup school is.
You know what else I saw? Because so much of this was torn down.
That's really history. Right?
And this is the Mecca Theater?
Oh, yeah. Well, the Mecca Theater, I remember. This was torn down in 1926.
Oh, way before. Like, so that was 2 decades before they built...
The Mecca was built in 1926.
It was built in 26.
Yeah, the block front was torn down in 26.
Oh, I see.
And then the new building that went up was the Mecca Theater.
Right.
And that opened in either late September, very early October of 1920. I lived up the block, so I know this for sure. We would love to see that when it opened because they paved all. It was a great place for skating. There was no stores.
Right.
But that opened in as I say, either late September, very early October. And the picture that opened with Valentino had died in August of 1926. And the first picture in the Mecca was the Son of the Sheik that he had made just before he died. You couldn't get in the lines around the block to go to that damn thing. Was tremendous. So I think about 2 or 3 weeks after it opened, I finally got a chance to go down and see the movie down. But the night that it opened, there were lines of people all the way around, I don't know, from all over the nation. And of course, below 14th Street was a heavy Italian neighborhood, so they were all there.
I know the gas house was largely Irish. Were there any other ethnic groups there besides the Irish?
It was Italians mm-hmm. and a lot of Germans mm-hmm. in the gas house. There's a lot of intermarriage between the Irish and the Germans mm-hmm. back in my mother father's generation. Mm-hmm. And there were Middle Europeans, some Poles, but like below 10th Street, a lot of Middle Europeans, Poles, Hungarians around 7th Street and Avenue C. Mm-hmm. Big groups. As a matter of fact, those streets down there, 3rd Street and so forth, they're still heavy Middle European. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But the gas house was predominantly Irish.
Because it had been, you know, the Irish were the first over, and that's where they located. Mm-hmm. And as I say, the Mecca also had... upstairs in the Mecca, they had a pool hall, billiard parlor, and it was great because this was 1926, 27, 28 when the mm-hmm. Yankees reigned supreme, and they used to have a board up there, tote board, like you might call it, with all electric lights as the game went on. They had the players' names and what was going on.
Oh, really?
They were staying in the street.
In the billiard hall?
Yeah, in the front window.
Right.
And this side, there was nothing, this was no stores, as I recall. On this side, the gas house boys had a clubhouse upstairs.
Who were the gas house boys?
The steam fitters.
Is that what they called themselves?
The gas house boys.
Was that a union, or I mean?
No, the union is the steam fitters union is local 238, I mm-hmm. think it is.
But these are just guys who worked at the gas house.
They were steam fitters when they came from the gas house, and the club was the gas mm-hmm. house boys. It was nothing. We had a stickball team in 16th Street. We were the gas house boys. Mm-hmm. That was the name of the team. One year, next year, we were the Shamrocks. The year after that, we were the Clovers. Mm-hmm. We changed the name uh-huh. once right. in a while.
That's great.
Yeah. So.
Can I just ask you what your sure. house looked like? You know, how many of you were in your apartment? And
well,
how
we
big
had
was
a
it?
We had a big when we lived. I don't remember the, mm-hmm. where I was born. 263, I remember very well. It was mm-hmm. a big 5-room apartment, mm-hmm. railroad flat, mm-hmm. Of course, cold water flat. But we had a coal stove in the kitchen and a coal stove in the front room. And in the kitchen, we had what they called a sidearm heater. That was a gas heater that heated hot water. Mm-hmm. We had a bathtub and bathroom, no hot water. So in the wintertime, we used to store coal in the bathroom.
But you had indoor plumbing, so you had the bathroom.
We had a bathroom.
Right.
We had the bathroom there, freeze.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But like in 16th Street, some of those houses between A and B and 16th, you're talking about, I know that there were outhouses.
Mm-hmm.
There were outhouses, no question about it.
How do you know? Did you used to go over and visit friends'
homes
there?
Well, I had friends who lived there, and they, you know, the boys I played with in 16th, they mm-hmm. lived in 16th Street.
Mm-hmm.
And,
16th between what?
A and B.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, A and B. Mm-hmm. Now, that was a great street because a lot of us congregated there. There was at a corner of 15th Street and Avenue C on the west, the northwest corner, was what we used to call the Pickle Factory, but it wasn't really a big, it was a place where...
What was the location again?
15th Street and Avenue C.
Uh-huh.
It was on the corner. It was in the building there, but they used to make sauerkraut and pickles and all mm-hmm. that, so everybody referred to it as the Pickle Factory.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you told me that your father, your grandfather used to sing a song about...
She lived by the gas house.
Down by the Winnegar Works. That was the Winnegar
Works. The Winnegar Works?
Winnegar Works. Uh-huh. Yeah, well, not Works. Not, you got to be Works. Winnegar Works. That was a pickle factory, I guess, called the Winnegar Works.
Uh-huh.
She's remembering, but she comes from the west side. She doesn't know.
Early to mid-30s, like just, you know, 10 or 12 years before they tore the neighborhood down, there was... sort of new, like Art Deco apartment buildings built on some
corner.
Oh
yeah, it was built on.
Where was that?
It was built on Avenue A between 15th and 16th. Tore the whole block front. This is the new apartment.
Right.
That was probably built, I guess, around 1930. Right. 31.
And so. It was all Art Deco, and then they tore it down like 13 or 14 years later.
Well, the Met was tearing the whole neighborhood mm-hmm, down. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was a nice building, an elevator building. I mean, it wasn't.
Oh, really?
No, it was a nice.
Wasn't a walk-up?
Nice, no. It was a nice apartment.
Uh-huh.
And that also was where we used to like to skate, because all these places where they built the new buildings, they put the sidewalks in
uh-huh, right.
Go skating.
Do you remember this? This is on 18th Street between A and 1st. It's called the Bull's Head Horse Auction.
Yeah, the Bull's Head. They used to have... they had horses in there, and this Mr. Clark that I told you about, he used to do all the horseshoeing for them. They used to bring the horses down to 14th Street. Right?
Where he was.
Then later in the 30s, he moved out of 14th Street, and he had his He had his little shop in 17th Street between A and B.
Mm-hmm.
And then they did. But he did all the bull's head work.
Hmm.
And then there was another group. I don't know.
They used to auction horses here?
Well, I guess so. Uh-huh. I mean, all I know is he did the horseshoe, and I know the bull's head was one of them. And then there was another place over, I think, in 12th Street around 3rd Avenue. I used to help his son sometimes bring the horses over. Hmm. Now, don't think we were cowboys. These were all horses that nothing bothered them. I mean, you could run a trolley car over them.
Right.
But we used just to walk them over and bring them over to the air and to the round to the bull's head.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the bull's head, though. That's a real one. And I'd almost forgotten about that. That was in 18th Street. Yeah.
Right.
Now, the Consol in the gas company, which is a little item you might want, they used to have what they called the whooping cough room. Kids got whooping cough, the mothers would take them down in the carriages, and for some reason coal gas eased the breathing apparatus, so the gas company had this room that they set for the mothers to bring the kids down. They'd spend the afternoon there with the kids, and the coal gas would ease the pertussis, or whatever, is that the name of it? Pertussis?
I don't know.
Whooping cough, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's whooping cough. So that's some people might remember.
That was on East 20th Street, that whooping cough room?
It was in the gas company. I forget exactly what street it was in. It was part of the gas company.
Do you know, I mean, you made reference to coal gas, and I understand that the gas works in the gas house district were all coal gas. They weren't
coal
natural gas.
That's what I said.
So, yeah, could you tell me what coal gas, I mean, how does coal gas differ from natural gas? Do you know how they made it or how they stored
They whatever it did, but, you know, they had these tanks, these great big tanks. Mm-hmm. Now, there are still some in Queens. You don't get
in
out.
Elmhurst?
Yeah.
Are those the Elmhurst gas tanks?
Yeah, they're supposed to tear them down.
They are.
But that's the same thing. The gas tanks used to expand. They put the gas in them and then the tanks would go up.
Do you remember the tanks in the gas house going up and down?
Yeah. Uh-huh. The same with the Elmhurst. We lived in, we came, after that we lived in Elmhurst, so we saw them all the time. Mm-hmm. No, they go up and down. As they put the gas in, the tank would go up and come down.
But I think the coal gas is different from natural gas.
Oh, yeah. It comes from coal.
Right.
I don't know how they process it.
Right.
Don't misunderstand me.
Right.
Because I didn't care.
Right.
But it was coal gas that they used.
Uh-huh.
As a matter of fact, when we lived on First Avenue between 15th and 16th Street, up until 1924, we had no electricity.
I was going to ask you, did you have gas lines?
The house was gas, lights, and also we used oil lamps.
Uh-huh.
And as I told you, we had a coal stove in the kitchen and a coal stove in the front room.
Right.
That was the fancy coal stove. That had a lot of chromium work. Uh-huh. And the one in the kitchen was...
The working
it was a working one, and my grandmother, who had been a living out girl and a cook, when she came over from Ireland, she wouldn't cook on anything but the coal stove. She could make anything in the world on the coal stove.
Uh-huh.
She made the most delicious Irish soda bread with like feathers that she used to make. She all made it all in the coal stove. Because then you also had on the coal stove, there were different things. You picked them up, with the lids.
Yeah, right.
But one lid always had. It started like that, and then they had one like that, and one like that, one like that. So you could take different pieces out and get to it. Yeah, that's just on one of the on one of them. And I had the job I used to have when I was a kid. I used to have to go get the black and cold black the stove. It had to be done every once in a while.
Right.
And then I have to go into the living room to do it, and I get strict orders: don't get the black stuff on the chromium.
Right. Right.
I used to have to go for mantles with a gas. Used to have to use what they call the mantle. I don't know if you ever heard of them.
No.
It was a little porcelain fixture that fitted over the gas, which gave a glow to the gas.
Oh, yeah, sure. Well, they're in lamps now.
Little
ceramic
things.
That's
what they call mantles.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they, at those times, the small ones were 2 or 3 cents a piece or something like that. And my grandmother sent me to the store to get them and warned me, because she had a cat of nine tails, she didn't even touch with it. If you don't fool around with the mantles, make sure you bring them home all in one piece. I want them all in one piece when I get them. So, but that was until 1924, and we used to have a Christmas tree in the front room of that house with real candles on it, and my old man was a fireman. And he used to have a hemorrhage, and my grandma said, "Oh, mind your own business."
Christmas tree with real candles.
With real candles, right. And they used to, I could still see my grandmother and my grand-aunt Anne sitting in the living room with big needles, and they were threading corn and threading cranberries.
Uh-huh.
They put them decorated. I could still see them sitting there.
Huh.
Can I just ask about something you said earlier? This is called the Farms, right?
This down section in here, this is from around the 18th Street to going up to the bend up.
This is the New York, New Haven, and Harlem River Railroad.
Yeah, they had, they all had piers there. Uh-huh. There was a lot of boat. Moore McCormick had docks down there,
mm-hmm.
and as a matter of fact, they used to have big piles of sand. We'd go down, fool around, playing the sand mm-hmm. down there. The Farms, they used to play baseball on in my father's day and before. Mm. Now, they were not. Earth. They were paved.
Right.
They played baseball. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that old woman, you told me you talked to some old woman talking about the farm.
Yeah.
I'm sure she'd tell you that. Yeah.
She was 98, lives in Stuytown today, and she said, anybody I speak to about the Gas House District, ask them if they've ever heard about the farms.
No question about it.
Mm-hmm.
And if my father was alive, he'd be 98.
Mm-hmm.
So, but no, I know about the farms. And that's what we call them, the farms. We never referred much to Marginal Street. I mean, mm-hmm. we just call it down at the farms
mm-hmm.
down there. And then that swung around into Avenue C, which was a truck route. And when we were kids, we weren't supposed to be, but we used to go hitching on Avenue C.
What, on the backs of cars, backs of delivery trucks?
Backs
or?
Of trucks or the horse and wagons and,
uh-huh.
and whatnot. And then...
Well, you would jump on after they'd already started.
Started, yeah,
uh-huh.
and hang on. And the guys didn't know we were on it.
Right.
There was a lot of horse and wagons in those days.
Uh-huh.
It was easy to hitch on. I'm a little cautious with the trucks myself.
Right.
And I had strict orders from my father. But, we were East Side kids, and there was myself and McCluskey and Connolly. I mean, these are the names.
Mm-hmm.
And Deegan and you name it, we had it. And we'd go down and we'd hit through the hitching. And then there used to be, of course, we used to go to what they call Tompkins Square Park.
Mm-hmm.
In those days, we just referred to it as the 10th Street Park.
Mm-hmm.
And they used to have a big waiting pool down there. We'd go down there and play. And then down on Avenue A and 6th Street was the Hollywood Theater. They used to have a lot of movies down there. We'd sneak down there and go to the movies. It was a nice movie house.
On A and 6th?
Corner of A and 6th,
uh-huh.
yeah.
Huh.
The Tompkins Square Park runs from 7th to 10th Street,
right.
from A to B.
And all the doctors and dentists lived on 10th Street facing the park.
10th Street facing the park.
Yeah.
They were beautiful. They were beautiful homes. There's a library. They're still there. I used to go to the library there
yep.
when I was a kid. And on the 7th Street side, the houses were nice, too.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody would sit in front of their house facing out on the park. That's the 10th Street park.
Mm-hmm.
And it was beautiful. I mean, there wasn't anything like it is today. I mean, the old elderly people used to sit and keep cool out there, and it was great. The Tompkins Square post office, the substation, was at 12th Street and Avenue B, and there was a lot of Germans. The St. Bridget's Church was at 8th Street.
Mm-hmm.
That was a pretty big German park. In here was a clinic, and I think it was started by the first woman doctor in New York City.
New York Infirmary for Women and Children.
Yeah, well, the founder was a woman, the first woman doctor that practiced in New York. And my mother used to take me up there. And as a matter of fact, that's where they said to my mother, they said, this kid's got the... what the hell did I have?
Diphtheria. Right.
And you better get your doctor. So there was a famous... I guess a famous, she was a great woman doctor. Her name was Dr. Tinkin. You might have crossed that name. I think she lived in 19th Street. And she used to make house calls and everything. She'd come down to the house. She'd take care of my grandmother. And she said, oh, yeah, this guy's got diphtheria. He's got to get into the Willard Park or so. That guy got shipped over there.
Hmm.
But I used to love her because every time she came, she had balloons. She didn't give lollipops to the kids. She gave them balloons.
Mm-hmm.
And she'd come down and take care of my grandma's side. And she, I think everybody in the neighborhood knew her, Mrs. Tinkin.
Oh, no.
See,
I would put stuff out for you to nibble or something, but...
you want some more water?
Oh, no, it's
cold
okay.
Water?
Thanks.
You want another soda?
No, I'm all set.
I'm
thanks.
All right, thank you.
This is side B of my tape, my interview with Mr. Charles Sweeney on Saturday, July 29th, 1995. This is side B of tape one.
Okay, now on this corner, this is 14th Street and 1st Avenue, right on the corner there, Dr. Jackson, she was a midwife.
Mm-hmm.
I think she delivered half of the kids in the neighborhood, but
mm-hmm.
she delivered my mother's four sons, and her grandson went off to school with me. We were close. As a matter of fact, his mother was my 1A teacher in the Annapolis. But she was well-known, Dr. Jackson.
She was on the northwest corner of 14th and 1st?
Northwest corner of 14th and 1st, yeah. And then right next door to that is Wilkins. I don't know if you could go down the neighborhood, but he's still there. That was a jewelry and clock shop.
Mm-hmm.
They've been there since my mother was a little girl or whatever.
Because the reputation, I mean, I read the WPA guide to New York in the 30s, and the reputation was that the gas house was like a dangerous area, and people were wary of going down there. And I mean, was that the perception?
I would assume so, but I mean, that wasn't the perception of people who lived there.
Right, right.
What can I tell you? Mm-hmm. You walk around at night, nobody ever bothered you. We were kids, we walked around up and down. It was a great neighborhood because everybody took care of everybody else. And, now, even in those days, you didn't lock your door.
Right.
You just went to bed at night. You went out, you never locked your door. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't that type of a neighborhood.
Uh-huh.
There was some tougher gangs up in the 20s for a while, but...
When you were a kid or from before you were, before your time?
Yeah, some of them. So, I mean, I heard some of the stories, and I don't believe half of them, and some of them I do believe. But,
mm-hmm.
You know, but...
Which ones do you believe and which don't you believe?
Well, they were like... they were tough guys. I mean, but they didn't go around holding people up or mugging people or anything. They were just tough guys, and they, actually, I think they're only... but it was with other gangs. I mean, it was just a sort of a gang thing. I mean, they were, I think during Prohibition, they probably were bootleggers, let me put it that way. I mean, we know that. those kind of gangs.
Right.
We used to make, you know, make beer. And there were some of the places which had been saloons were then turned into speakeasies. I mean, because what were the guys going to do? I mean, you're talking about now St. Mary Magdalene's Parish at 17th Street and Avenue B there.
I was, you know, that 98-year-old woman I spoke to in Stuytown was talking to me. Do you remember this overnight ferry to Bridgeport that was on the East River here?
Well, there was a lot of boats on the East River. They used to have the floating hospital.
Mm-hmm.
They used to have a boat and had the sick people. And then they had the baths that used to dock on the east side. That was a boat with bathhouses all around it. And they had the screening that went down into the water to keep stuff out, and they brought it up, and you went to the bed.
Yeah,
you went swimming.
Like what they have in Paris in the Seine. There's only one of them left, but it was like a bathhouse boat.
Yeah, it was a bathhouse boat. You know, you change your suit and you went swimming. But they used to move it around a little bit, and then it wind up. I think they used to park it at 18th Street, I think.
Uh-huh.
And
was there? You know what I meant to ask? I mean, in terms of like people working, there was obviously a lot of jobs for the men at the gas house. Were there any, like, was there any business, like, was there a lot of work associated with river freight and stevedoring?
Yeah, sure, because I tell you, the more McCormick lines were here, and there was a lot of docks and workers over here. I don't remember all the names.
Were there any saloons that catered to the dock workers?
I don't ever recall any saloons being done, not when I was a kid.
Along the river, like, you know, that would serve that area?
Not that I know of. They were mostly up on First Avenue and one or two down on Avenue A and B and whatnot. And I don't remember anything. I don't remember. There might have been some, but I don't remember. One of the famous saloons, and I'm going to give you a song from there, was Yumsey Cunningham's. He was on First Avenue between 20th and 21st.
15th is here, and Avenue A is here.
All right. Peter Stuyvesant's home was there.
Well, if you look here, before they built the grid, this is Stuyvesant Street here. It went diagonal.
Well, it could have been. I don't know what the hell they did.
No, this would have been like the 1830s, 1840s.
Yeah, this is like back in the colonial days. Mm-hmm. Now, so Peter Stuyvesant's home was in the vicinity of 15th Street and First. And did I say First? No, Avenue 8. Yeah. And
because this was the Stuyvesant farm originally, I think.
Correct.
Yeah,
that's correct. This was his home.
Right.
And it was his farm. It was Peter Stuyvesant's farm. My grandmother came from Ireland, and she came over about 1870, I guess. And she said even when she came over, the water came up to Avenue B. And they were filling, and they filled in the Amwell.
Incredible.
So that's the way. And then the river then cuts in up there. But Stuyvesant is buried over in the Bowery, or St. Mark's in the Bowery, buried over there. That's where he's buried, but that's an Episcopalian church, and he was a Dutch Reformed, so it's just that they buried him there.
Right.
North Beach, where LaGuardia Field was a amusement park, a little before my time.
Mm-hmm.
When I came along, we moved out to Queens. It was still there physically, but it had a big fire. Everything was burned to the ground.
Where is this?
Where LaGuardia
Field
is.
Right.
That's over in, what do you want to call it, Bowery Bay in Jackson, or North Jackson Heights, or whatever you would like to call it. But that was a great summer place with uh-huh. amusement park like Coney Island and whatnot, swimming. College Point, I used to go swimming.
Did you used to go swimming in the East River at all in the gas house?
I did once. I wasn't supposed to, but I did sneak down once. Uh-huh. They used to swim with the ducks down there. But
which, do you remember where the, like, where,
yeah,
where on the river the east, the
yeah,
ducks?
Right off 18th Street, uh-huh. most of the time, but my father and mother were very strict about it.